So now last week, Pastor Jeff highlighted what a practical book James is. You know, it's got all sorts of great instructions. It's in our lives. It's a very practical book. And he asked the question, do we got faith? Okay. Now he mentioned that the overall theme that we're seeing in James is that faith isn't faith unless it's faith in action. And in the last week, Pastor Jeff looked at what faith looks like when we're going through trials, times of trial. Now this week, we're going to see what that faith looks like when we're going through times of temptation. Okay, now temptation, you know, it's one of those things we all face, and you know, from time to time we struggle with it. But today, as we open up God's Word, James is going to help us think clearly about temptation. Now, I don't know if you ever get the opportunity to get out and do any fishing. I get out about once a year. Okay, but that once a year is a big deal for me. Okay, because every October, my dad, my brother, and my father-in-law and I, we pack up and we head up north, and it's the annual muskie fishing jamboree. And it's, you know, it's a little four-day fishing tournament, and we have a great time. It is a blast. But over the years going up there, one of the things I've learned is, you know, muskies, they must not be able to see real well. Okay, now for bait, what we use is, you know, it's about anywhere between 12 and 18-inch long fish called a sucker. And what we do is we take this sucker and, you know, we take one of these rigs and we put a bunch of holes in them, you know, and stick the hooks in them. Then we roam around the lake. I don't know if you can see the hooks. You know, but I've always thought about it, you know, we get this big fish and we load them up with these hooks. Now, I know, I would think, come on, you know, the muskie should see this thing swimming through the water, see all these big hooks, and be like, something's wrong here. I don't know about that fish. I think I'll leave that one alone. But for some reason, they don't get it. You know, as you can see, okay, they don't get it. They still go for it. They still eat them. They still try and bite them. Now, what James is going to show us as we dig into James today is that in temptation, the name of the game is deception. Okay, temptation is all about deception. Now, for those muskies, you know, they just see that fish swimming by. They don't see the hooks. They don't notice those hooks. So they see the fish, and then they just go after them. They eat them. You know, that's what they do. They're an eating machine. But for us, okay, when we're facing temptation, we need to be able to see that bait clearly, okay, so that we don't get hooked. And that's the point today. Now, as we look at this, as we dig into temptation, the question we're really asking today is, are you being deceived? Okay, are you being deceived? Are you falling into that deception? Now, the problem with deception is you don't really realize it. If you're deceived, you don't really notice, okay? You grab onto that bait, and you take it and run, and you don't realize you're deceived until, oh, you're hooked. So what we're going to do today, we're going to examine what God says on the subject so that we can think clearly on temptation and keep from falling, keep from getting hooked. So let's turn, we're going to take a look. If you've got your Bibles, we're in James chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 13. We've got Bibles right back here if you want to grab one and read along with us. So let's take a look. Let's read what James says. In James chapter 1, it's verses 13 through 18. James writes, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each of you is tempted when you are dragged away by your own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." So as we ask that question, you know, are you being deceived? Now James is going to shine a light on three aspects of temptation to help us see clearly, as we see in these verses. Now the first thing he wants us to get clear on is the source of temptation. Okay, now look again in verse 13 and 14. Okay, God is not the source of temptation. Okay, God is good. Only good things come from God. evil can't come from God. Now, we are so good at passing the blame. You know, I think it's one of the things we excel in. You know, when something goes wrong, you know, our first reaction is you know, to point out it's not our fault. Now, I don't know. I mean, think about this where you work. Okay, if you stay at home with your kids, you see this all the time, right? It's never their fault. It's your other kid's fault. Now, you see this in the office when something goes wrong. You know, you see it on the shop floor when something gets screwed up. You know, I used to have a summer job doing survey work for road construction. And every once in a while, I'd get a call. And they'd want me to come out to the job site and take a look at something because something had gotten, they put it in the wrong place. You know, it might be some curb or maybe a manhole or something. And usually, thousands of dollars were at stake to try and fix it. And it was almost comical because you'd get out there, you'd see everybody gathered around, and the first concern on everybody's mind was explaining that this wasn't their fault, okay? This wasn't my fault. This is somebody else's fault, you know. Now, you know, we do the same thing. And it's exactly what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden, if you think about it, passing the blame. It's exactly what we still do today. Now, thinking clearly about temptation starts with realizing who's at fault. And James shows us here, it's pretty clear. Okay, it's not God's fault when we're tempted. You know, temptation is the result of our own sinful desires. Now, there's a lot of places in the Bible where there's a number of places where we see Satan coming and he initiates a temptation to try and take someone down. But even in those cases, you know, it's our own sinful desires that still get us in trouble. Now, what we're seeing here is James is establishing a clear contrast between temptation in these verses and the trials we talked about last week. Okay, now Pastor Jeff showed us that, you know, there's sometimes when God allows or even ordains trials in our life because he wants to grow us and he wants to shape us so that we can be more like Jesus. Okay, it's those trials that develop perseverance and lead us to wholeness in Christ. Okay, that's what we talked about last week. Temptation, on the other hand, is different. Okay, temptation in our lives isn't about helping us grow. It's about trying to take us down. It's about trying to separate us from God. Okay? And that's never God's plan for us. And it's always important to realize God's plan for us is always good. He wants good for us. He wants the best for us. Now, you know, temptation, okay, so God doesn't cause it. Is it still his fault for letting it happen? Now, if you think about it, what if God removed all temptation from our lives, right? I mean, if God removed all temptation from our lives, we really wouldn't be free to reject or choose him. Okay, and the Bible shows us that while God allows temptation in our lives, he puts certain boundaries around it. He sets limits to temptation to protect us and to keep us safe. And take a look in 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know, the story of Job is one example. This is another great one right here. These verses say, "No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to us all. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Now we see here that God doesn't allow any temptation that we can't handle with the strength he provides. Okay, we see that God always provides a way to endure the temptation. But we need to notice that point right there. Because the way out of temptation always comes from God. Okay, when we're facing temptation, you know, resisting temptation and making it through successfully, it isn't about, you know, just pulling up our bootstraps and, you know, trying harder and doing our best, you know, the old willpower, give it the willpower, you know, and it's not about being stronger. It's not about trying harder or any of those things. You know, it's about crying out to God. Okay? The way out of temptation is to rely on God. We need to find that way out that he provides. Okay, it's not in our strength. Now, so what James has shown us here, that first step to temptation, it's about seeing the source of temptation clearly. Okay, temptation comes from our own desires. We need to take responsibility for that. What he shows us here as we get back to James, is that the second aspect of temptation that he wants us to see clearly is the process of temptation. Now, what he shows us here, temptation starts with a desire in us, and then that desire entices us, and as it grows, then it becomes sinful thoughts and then sinful actions. Now here, notice the delay. Okay? Just being tempted, just the desire by itself, isn't sin. And that's important to be clear on. Okay? Just the desire, just the temptation isn't sin. It's what happens after that, when we let that sin grow. Now, if you think about it, Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. Okay? Don't feel condemned just because you face temptation. Okay? The issue is, what do you do when you're tempted? There was a mother who, she had told her son not to go swimming. And, you know, he walked in the back door, and his hair was wet, and his bathing suit was all wet. And she asked him, she said, "Johnny, I told you not to go swimming." He said, "Mom, you know, I tried, but the water, it just looked so good." She asked him, "Well, why'd you take your bathing suit with you?" "Well, in case I was tempted." You know, the desire itself isn't the issue, right? But are you taking your bathing suit with you? You know, what are you doing when you're tempted? And for example, you're driving down the street, you happen to notice an attractive person that you're not married to walking down the street. What do? Right? If you look, you know, do you look, do you not look? What's the deal? You know, I think, you know, just noticing that they're attractive isn't a sin. But it's what you do after that, right? Do you keep looking? Now, if we recall from the Sermon on the Mount, you know, in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, you know, Jesus showed us that he raised the bar on the law. And what he showed us was that it isn't just about what we do. You know, it's about what we think, too. And so that's why, you know, we don't want to give that temptation that chance to grow in our minds. You know, are we doing that? Do you give temptation that space to grow? Do you think about it? Do you mull it over? Do you let that desire turn into sinful thoughts? Because that's where it starts. That's where the sin happens, right there. And then that leads to sinful actions. And that's what James has shown us today. Now, I don't know if you saw Finding Nemo or not, but we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to see what happens when we give our desires the opportunity to grow. Now, in the scene, we're going to see Marlin and Dory have just been invited by their friend Bruce the Shark to come to a little meeting. Okay, now Marlin and Dory are a little worried. They're a little scared. They think that this might be a dinner party, and they're a little worried that they might be dinner. What they find out is that this is actually a meeting of Fish Eaters Anonymous. So let's take a look and see what happens here.
Let us all say the pledge.
I am a nice shark, not a mindless eating machine. If I am to change this image, I must first change myself. Fish are friends, not food.
Except stinking dolphins.
Dolphins? Yeah, they think they're so cute. Oh, look at me, I'm a flipping little dolphin. Let me flip for you, ain't I something?
Right then, today's meeting is step 5. Bring a fish friend. Now, do you all have your friends?
Got mine.
Hey there.
How about you, chum?
Oh, well, I seem to have misplaced my friend.
It's all right, chum. I had a feeling this would be a difficult step. You can help yourself to one of my friends.
Oh, thanks, mate. A little chum for chum, eh?
I'll start the testimonies. Hello. My name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
It has been 3 weeks since my last fish. On my honour, or may I be chopped up and made into soup.
You're an inspiration to all of us.
Amen.
Right then, who's next?
Oh, pick me.
Yes, the little Sheila down the front.
Woo!
Come on up here.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Hello, Dory.
And, well, I don't think I've ever eaten a fish.
Ha! Hey, that's incredible.
Good on you, mate.
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
All right, anyone else? Hello, how about you, mate? What's your problem?
Me? I don't have a problem.
Oh, okay.
Denial.
Just start with your name.
Okay. Hello. My name is Marlin. I'm a clownfish.
A clownfish? Really?
Go on, tell us a joke.
Oh, I love jokes.
Well, I actually do know one that's pretty good. There was this mollusk, and he walks up to a sea cucumber. Normally, they don't talk, sea cucumbers, but in a joke, everyone talks. So the sea mollusk says to the cucumber, Nemo!
Nemo! Nemo! I don't get it.
Well, a clownfish is not that funny.
No. He's my son. He was taken by these divers.
Oh, my, you poor fish.
Humans think they own everything.
Probably American.
Now there is a father looking for his little boy.
Ugh, what do these markings mean?
I never knew my father.
Come here.
Good luck. We're all mates here, mate.
I can't read human.
Well, then we gotta find a fish that can read this. Hey, look, shark.
No, Dory.
Hey, guys.
No, Dory.
Hey, that's mine. Get
Dory,
it.
Cut it out.
Jimmy. Ow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Ow.
I'm so sorry.
You really clocked me there. Am I bleeding?
Oh.
Ow.
Dory, are you okay?
Oh. That's good.
Intervention!
Just a bite!
Did you hold together, mate?
Remembrance! Fish and friends, not food!
Food!
Dory, look out!
I'm having fish tonight!
Remember the steps, mate!
Okay, so Bruce. It's what we see, you know. Bruce was trying to be a good shark, right? Fish are friends, not food. But Bruce put himself in a position to be tempted, okay? And we saw how quickly his desire turned into sinful actions. Now, James tells us that once that desire grows into sin, okay, sin will eventually lead to death. Now, I mean, if we're honest, you know, most of the time, well, sin's pretty fun, right? I mean, we can admit that here, right? When we first start, you know, hey, sin seems like a pretty good idea, you know? But what James tells us here, it's the same thing Romans 6:23 tells us, you know, the wages of sin is death. Okay, sin will lead to death. We may take that bait, we may not notice the hooks, but eventually, we're hooked. There are the consequences. And it's not just that, you know, that sin brings us, you know, separates us from God and brings spiritual death, which it does. You know, but sin brings destruction into our lives right now. You know, it's the broken relationships, it's damage to our bodies, all kinds of consequences that we face, you know, from sinful actions. The loss of God's blessings. So the question is, you know, what are you struggling with right now? You know, what are the temptations that you're facing? Even this past week, there was an article in the magazine called Discipleship Journal where they asked their readers to name the top spiritual challenges they were facing. And take a look at this list and see how it stacks up for you there. Okay, number one result, materialism. Pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger, lust, envy, gluttony, lying. Which one of those resonate the most for you right now? I mean, what are the temptations you face the most? You know, whether it's at home or work, you know, kind of where do they fall on that list? And the Bible shows us that really all these temptations, the whole list, really boils down to three basic types of temptation. Okay, all these temptations, they really come in three basic types. If we take a look in 1 John chapter 2, it's verses 15 and 16, he tells us, do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and the boasting of what they have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So those are the three basic types right there. Okay, starts first of all with the cravings of sinful people. Now, sometimes this is also called the lust of the flesh. Now, what this is about is it's about what you feel and all the things you do to feel good. Now, second, John mentions the lust of the eyes. This is about what you have. You know, do you envy somebody else's stuff? Or, you know, how deeply does money have its claws around you? You know, what do you have? And the final one there is the boasting about what we have and do, which is sometimes called the pride of life. Okay, you know. It's all about, you know, who you are, who you want to be, that kind of thing. You know, are you focused on position, power, and authority, or your status? Those kind of things. Those might be signs that you're struggling with pride of life. Now, at times, we each struggle in all three of these areas. But take a moment here and think about what's the one area this past week that you've been facing the most? And what James is telling us is not to be deceived about how temptation works. Okay, it starts with our natural desires, then we're enticed to fulfill them in a wrong way or at the wrong time, grows into a sinful thought, then a sinful action. Okay? And it plays on one of these three areas. Okay, what we have, you know, what we feel, who we are, and it eventually leads to death. Now, where James is going to take us, after we get clear about the process of temptation, James is going to bring us so that we can hopefully clearly see the alternative to temptation. So temptation, what it tries to do is deceive us into believing that there's something good we can get apart from God's plan for us. Okay, this is temptation's ultimate deception. Okay, that there's something good we can get that isn't a part of God's plan. Now, you know, we don't give in to temptation thinking it's going to be bad for us, right? We don't, you know, we think, yeah, this is going to be fun, it's not going to hurt anything, or it's going to feel good, or whatever. Right? But there's nothing good that doesn't come from God. Right? I mean, do you believe that this morning? Right? Is there anything good for you that doesn't come from God? Right? The answer is no. James says clearly no. Every good thing comes from God. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And there's nothing that's good for you that doesn't come from God. So when we're facing temptation, you know, typically we don't see the alternative very clearly. Okay, we don't see the long-term consequences. We don't see what we're giving up. Take a look in verse 18 there again. If you got your Bible, look in verse 18 there. Where he says, and look at the contrast in verse 18. Okay, verse 18, God chose to give us birth. Okay, God gives us birth. It's bringing forth life, right? This new life that we have with God. You know, contrasted with what temptation brings. You know, temptation gives birth to death. You know, we see how temptation, you know, it's about deception, right? Don't be deceived. Temptation tries to deceive us. And in verse 18 there shows us how, you know, God, he gives us this birth. It's through the word of truth. God's about truth. He's opening our eyes. He's helping us see. Helps us, you know, we get to become the first fruits, the beginning of the awesome work that God's doing here. It was C.S. Lewis, he observed that, you know, the problem with those desires isn't that we want too much. The problem is we want too little. You know, we're willing to sell out our relationship for God, our relationship with God for, you know, a couple quick pleasures. We just see the immediate gratification of our little desires, you know, and we're willing to toss aside the abundant life that God has for us. And we're willing to settle for far too little. Now, if you think about it, and this is the same concept, this is the same reason why credit card companies do so well. This is why they make so much money, right? It's the get-it-now mentality. Okay, you can have it now. You can get it now. Okay, but you're going to pay, and you're going to keep paying, and you're going to keep paying later. Okay, pause for a minute. Think about how you live your life, right? Are you living for today? Okay, are you just living for that get it now mentality? Now, in the 70s, Stanford University conducted this study, and they wanted to investigate the power of temptation. So what they did was they took a group of preschoolers, and one at a time they put them in a room, and they gave them a marshmallow. And they told them, they said, you can eat this marshmallow now, or if you wait 15 minutes, you can have a second marshmallow. You know, and then they put the kids in the room and see what happened. Some of the kids, you know, they went for the marshmallow right away. You know, they just ate it up. Some of the other kids, they tried to wait, you know, and they would, you know, some of them would sing to try and pass the time, or they'd close their eyes and not look at the marshmallow. Or, you know, some of them would put their head down and try and go to sleep. The interesting thing happened, though, a decade later, they went back and checked up on those same kids to see how they're doing. What they found was that the kids who were able to say no, the kids who were able to prolong that gratification, they were doing a lot better in school. And they had a lot more self-confidence. Those kids were being a lot more successful in life than the kids who had to get it now. So how about you? Are you able to put off something, you know, something fun today to get something better tomorrow? Okay. Or do you need to get it now? If you think about it, this is really what's at the heart of being a Christian. Okay? You know, we accept Christ, we decide to follow him, and we're choosing to say no to the endless process of trying to chase after things and find our fulfillment in this life. We're saying that our ultimate fulfillment is only going to come in the next life. It's only going to come after we die. We try and make the best out of this world, but we're not counting on this world to be what fulfills us. Now, if you're not a believer, I mean, you've got to scramble around, you know, get as much as you can, try and avoid pain at all costs, dull it when it happens, do whatever you can to avoid pain. You know, you might as well just try and experience whatever you want. Get whatever you can, because this life is all you've got. It's all you're living for. And yet, even as Christians, sometimes we fall into that. We fall into that trap of trying to get our good things out of this life. And this is why we complain so much when we go through a trial. You know, God, what's going on? You know, this hurts. You know, I thought you loved me. Right? We whine so much when we're going through trials. But part of it is we're trying to get our good things out of this life. What we need to do is expand our perspective. Okay? We need to start looking not just at the little things we can get in this life. Okay? Start thinking of long term, the big perspective. For us as Christians, I mean, heaven is the main event. That's the big deal. That's what we're in it for. Okay? This world is just preparation for that. Our fulfillment, it doesn't come in this world, but the next. The temptation tries to deceive us and get us to seek that immediate gratification. Okay, but it's only God's way that's good. And we need to see that alternative to temptation to keep from being deceived. So this morning, what we've seen now is the big idea in temptation is deception. You know, and James has laid out these three things to help us see them clearly. You know, the source of temptation, the process of temptation, the alternative to temptation. Okay. And what he's doing here is he's fighting deception with truth. Right? Temptation is about deception. And James is fighting that deception with truth. He's given us the truth to help us think clearly. Now, if you want to be able to continually defeat temptation, okay, you need to be continually getting the truth. Okay, that means God's word. Okay, if you want to be able to look past your desire and see those hooks on the bait so you know not to take it, you know, okay, you got to be in God's word. You got to be in the Bible. If you want to be able to keep your focus on eternity and not get caught up in the little things of this life, you got to be spending time in the Bible. So I want to encourage you this morning to really try and make time in the Bible a priority for you. Now, you know, it doesn't mean you gotta, you know, get in the Bible an hour every day. Okay? Start with 5 or 10 minutes. try and get in the Bible 5 or 10 minutes a day. Okay? 5 minutes is a lot better than zero. Okay? But you gotta keep in touch with that truth so you can keep from being deceived. You know, and don't, when you are reading through the Bible, you know, you don't worry about trying to zoom through the whole thing or you know, get through book after book after book. You know, one of the best things you can do is just focus on a small section. You know, and just read and reread and reread that section. And then ask the big questions. You know, the who, the what, when, where, why, how. You know, focus on smaller parts. The general idea is to spend more time in less scripture. Okay, that's a great way to get into the Bible. Okay, and ask God to help you. Now, think back to these three areas in 1 John here. Which of these are you struggling with most this week? Okay. Is it what you feel, you know, the temptation? Temptations in the area of what you feel, is that what you're struggling with this week? Is it what you have? Who you are? Which of those three temptations do you face the most this week? Okay. Think about how are you responding when you face those temptations. This week, how have you responded? Okay. Now what are you doing to resist those temptations when they come up? Now, earlier I mentioned, you know, there was that survey in Discipleship Journal, and they had the big list of everybody mentioned their top spiritual challenges. There's four other things that they ask them. And what came out of that survey was they wanted to know also what were the number one ways that those readers were able to resist temptation. Okay, and here's what they got. They got four top responses. Now, by far the number one response, 84% of the people said the biggest way that they resisted temptation was prayer. Okay, now that's exactly what we said earlier. Okay, God provides the way out of temptation. Okay, you can't do it in your own power. Okay, it's not about try harder and just do it. You know, you got to rely on God's power. Okay, so the number one way for you to defeat that area of temptation you struggle in is prayer. You got to be praying, or you're not going to make it. Okay, you can't do it on your own. There were three other things they mentioned, and I want you to listen to these three. And what I want you to do is, I want you to pick one of these three things they mentioned, and together with prayer, I want you to try it this week in that area that you're struggling with, okay? Now, these are the three they mentioned. Avoiding compromising situations, studying the Bible, and being accountable to someone. Which of those three could you do this week? Okay? I mean, avoiding compromising situations, kind of like Bruce the Shark needed to do, right? Okay, getting in the Bible, and this is studying the Bible, not just, you know, some time daily in the Word, but really digging in, spending extended time studying and taking apart the Bible, learning more about it, or being accountable to someone. Is there someone that you're close with that can help you, that you can talk about the temptations you're facing? Okay, pick one of those this week. Pick one of those, and together with prayer, put it into practice, okay, to resist the temptations that you're facing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, that is the truth that illuminates the deceptions, Lord, that we face, Lord, that gives us the power to face temptation. I just want to pray, Father, that you would help us this week. Lord, that you would remind us, Lord, of your truth, that you would help us to get in your word and to be praying and relying on you to resist temptation. I just want to pray for all of us in here today, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and that you would give us the power to turn to you this week, to put this into practice this week, to try one of these areas to resist our temptation, Lord. Father, we thank you for the power you give us to help us, Lord. We thank you for the power you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to know you, to defeat temptation ultimately, Lord, even when we fall, we can confess, repent, and be restored in our relationship with you, Lord. We just thank you so much for that. We thank you for this time. And we just surrender the results to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.